Hey, 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 you're now listening or watching the Halos in the Infield podcast with your host Todd Fox and Fernando the Lone Star Halo, brought to you in part by Noble L Works, just outside of Anaheim Stadium and the Pond, or the Honda Center, where you can get drink specials just by mentioning Halos in the Infield. Also brought to you in part by 714 Tickets. Is a place to go to get 10% off of any ticket purchase just by also mentioning HITI, Halos in the Infield. Now enjoy the show. Hey, 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 welcome in everybody to Halos in the Infield, the podcast, as we start off this Monday morning talking about the Angels in spring training. We got a lot of topics on board for that, as well as the latest news as far as free agents, the Yardy Moreno triangle with Perry Manassian and the fans. And then also reflecting on one Cole Calhoun, who announced he's hanging him up for good as he retires. Unfortunately, not taking a one-day contract with the Angels, but we'll get into all that and some other stuff. And first, I am Todd Fox, along with the other host of the show.
The Lone Star Halo.
The Lone Star Halo, residing from Texas, but he's got Anaheim in his heart. And he's residing in the World Series champion territory, which is crazy to still think about, right?
Yeah, definitely crazy to think about. Even crazier the fact that, like, baseball's right around the corner here, and, like, there isn't a lot of buzz about it. Like, I just started seeing, like, billboard ads. That's about it.
And if you think about it, which we'll talk about and touch on a little bit, is the whole Bally's conundrum has hurt the Rangers as well. They haven't really spent in free agency as well, although they're the World Series champs. Their rival down there in Houston is geared up a little bit. Not as much as we thought they would either, but we'll get more into that. But first thing I want to bring up real quick, Fernando, the fact that I saw something about it was either Paul Heyman thinking wrestling. One of the guys for ESPN had a tweet about Perry's been pushing, you know, Snell this entire time and other free agent pitchers, and Artie just keeps giving him the no, keeps giving him the red light. And my biggest fear, I know we'll talk on Snell later, but in general, the Artie conundrum is the fact that I'm tired of seeing pitchers, you know, throw away all the other garbage that's come along with Artie Moreno, but I'm tired of seeing pitchers being named as possible targets for the Angels, targets that would fit and help this organization sign with either rivals or division teams.
Yeah, I agree with that. And the thing that I'm the most frustrated about is the fact that the Angels are always a team that's quote-unquote in on somebody. And we know it never happens. The Angels are and have kind of always been used as like a bargaining chip. And that's mm-hmm. what I really, really don't like. But especially with pitchers. I mean, when was the last time the Angels got a big pitcher available on the market? I mean, CJ Wilson?
Yeah, I would have to think so.
Yeah, because, I mean, you can't count Ohtani. I understand he was a free agent signing, but, I mean, you know, at the time, the Angels did take a leap of faith on him.
And here's the thing that I get so upset with, Fernando, and I guess the frustration just keeps boiling over, is the fact that, like you mentioned, CJ Wilson was a long time ago. You had Bartolo Colon, Kelvin Escobar, when they tried to make runs. And obviously, when they're making serious runs, they were getting free agent pitchers. Now, I can understand, Fernando, if this franchise has a heavy, like they have go-to pitchers in their organization, and they could say, okay, we're going to build from within, or we're going to use the guys we have on talent, or if we get into a playoff chase, we can leverage a couple of these guys and get ourselves a pitcher and not always have to depend on free agency. Okay, but you can't do that. Our farm system is close to dead last. So if you don't have the pieces in-house, you can't use those pieces during the trade season. So the smart thing to do is get a free agent or two, and at worst comes to worst, you flip them for more picks, right?
Yeah, and I mean, Artie's all about saving money where he can. So at the end of the day, right now you have some young controllable arms. But the disadvantage is Detmers, Sandoval, Canning – those three guys who at the current moment are, you know, the bigger names in your rotation, is they're all going to be free agents around the same time. Mm-hmm. I think Canning would be first, and then Detmers and Sandoval almost like immediately afterward. So with that being said, are you going to re-sign all three of those guys in what is it, like two-ish years?
Doubt that severely.
So, and it's not like you have a lot of guys right now that are in the waiting in the minors. You just don't. I mean, Dana's impressed a lot of guys in spring training, and maybe all of a sudden he's a guy whose MERS is, okay, you know what? Maybe this could be a piece in 2-3 years. Okay. But that replaces one of these three guys. The way I see it, getting a guy like a Montgomery or a Snell will give you the opportunity to trade away, you know, a most likely a Detmers or a Sandoval. You're not going to trade a guy like, you know, Canning because you don't have a lot of righties right now. So yeah, you can trade one of those pieces with, you know, Snell and Montgomery coming on board. And it allows you to maybe trade for some younger minor league pitchers that are, you know, triple A situation and, you know, save yourself some potential money in a couple of years.
And it will give you time to, you know, your Plesacs and other guys who are major league ready. Those guys will give your young talent that you would get back in those trades time to maturate down in the minors and become players later on. You know what I mean? So, like, that's where you have to have a healthy balance of developing and free agents. And for whatever reason, like the Halo honks always say, including the propaganda prime minister known as PP Roger Lodge, he comes out always and says, we don't need pitching. You know, you always run the risk of a guy getting injured. Well, what have you paid Anthony Rendon to be injured every year, every other day, even? Yeah. So that's just what's frustrating with me. Fernando is like, I literally was pumped up, and I still am trying to be, you know, level-headed and pumped up for this season and give these guys a chance and all that jazz that comes along with a new season. But that tweet just got to me, bro. Like just seeing that made me so upset, because it's true. There could be easily a move here and there. Perry's ready to go, you know, and just the fact he just keeps red lighting for whatever reason, whether it's Bally's or he just is being cheap. We already hate the guy, and he just keeps rubbing salt in the wound.
The thing that I've always hated about Artie is no matter which way you slice it or dice it, the guy is not serious about winning. And you get all these people who are like, well, what are you talking about? He spends money. Okay, great. What benefit is there to spending money if you don't spend the right money? Yep. That's why everyone's always like, oh, but why do you guys want a new owner? I mean, a new owner doesn't guarantee winning. What if we get worse? Can we get worse? Oh, we're a fourth place team. Yeah, you could be a fifth place team. Great. I'd rather be where Oakland is than where we are. At least in 2 or 3 years, Oakland's going to be good because they continuously do that.
Yep.
Build up. They tear it down. They suck for 3 or 4 years, and they get good again for another 3 or 4 years. At least there's a pattern. I can live with that, knowing that, hey, it's all right. 2 or 3 years, we're going to be good again. Instead, for the last decade, we've been in hillbilly hell. There's been no positive. There has been no direction. There has been nothing. Artie has thrown bullshit at the wall. Not even shit. Bullshit at the wall. And it's not sticking.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I had someone say, well, you could be a Pirates fan. I'm like, I'd rather be a Pirates fan. If we haven't. Look,
yeah, at least you know your team sucks.
Yeah, at least you know your team sucks. But look at who they've got exciting players on that team that are making their run at the majors or already coming up. They got that pitcher throwing like over 100 miles per hour. He looks like a dominant starter. You know, they've got some players. They've got, and they're developing. You can see it happening. You can kind of see it with the Angels here and there, but you know, at least that guy has a track record of like, okay, you know, we put together a young team. We'll put a few veterans along with it and they'll compete. You know, they'll be competitive. And that's where we're hoping the Angels will get to. It's just we've been disappointed year after year because of, yeah, I can't imagine a worse situation other than Oakland at this point.
Yeah, and like I said, I don't even think Oakland is in a worse situation. You want me to be honest with you?
Well,
it's just outside. Yeah, right now their team sucks. Yeah, exactly. Okay. But honestly, for them, I mean, we know they're moving, right? A lot of Oakland A's fans are like, well, what if? I mean, I think they're moving somewhere. Whether it's Las Vegas or not, I don't think they're going to stay in Oakland. So,
correct.
But at least we do know that at some point they are going to be good. They have that pattern. And that's what I mean by like, well, can it get any worse? seriously, I mean, and the thing that sucks as an Angels fan is you've spent the last 10 years expecting them to contend, and this year is going to be different. This year is going to be different. We've said that for the last 10 years, and that's why we've been the laughing stock of baseball. I got into freaking, like, what is it? I made a YouTube comment. There's this guy, his name, I Talk Baseball. He gets on his knees all the time for the Dodgers. He's a blow. He's a try-hard, blow-hard, whatever you want to say. And he made this video about, like, the Yankees have an Aaron Judge problem. And I made a comment saying, Aaron Judge should get out of New York. He's wasting his career just because I wanted to be on that side of the fence for once. And there was a dude who responded with, or he can stay in New York and help them win. And I'm like, oh, how come whenever we said that about Mike Trout, we were called delusional? But here's a Yankee fan, or he can stay here and help them win. Like, the point is, there's a lot of organizations in baseball that don't win. They're not perennial winners. And realistically, be honest, nowadays, what baseball organization is a perennial winner? I'm not talking about making the playoffs. I'm talking about winning championships. The Giants were for 6 years.
Mm-hmm.
I would even buy the Red Sox. The Red Sox have won a pretty good amount over the last, 20 years. They won, like, what, 3 World Series?
Yeah, they got their 3.
Okay, you know, maybe. The Yankees aren't winners like they used to be.
Mm-hmm.
The Dodgers, no, they've won 1 ring in 30 years. I don't care if they made the playoffs. Great, it's a participation award. There hasn't been a lot of perennial winners in the last, 10, 15, 20 years. That's my point.
Yeah, there really hasn't been a dynasty. There's been a lot of, like, up-and-comers show up 1 year, disappear the next couple.
Exactly. The Giants are the only exception in baseball that you could consider them a dynasty for 6 years.
Yeah. So, I mean, you have – it comes in cycles. And unfortunately, we're in a very bad cycle along with the Detroit Tigers. We're on 9 years now of futility. So this is something that it's got to change. But all indications aren't pushing for us for a change. I think this would have been the year you would have seen the new ownership take over had everything gone to according to plan back in the day, over a year and a half ago. So it's very frustrating. But I think, as much, that's what my whole point is. Like, I try to get past it. We know Artie's our owner. He's not going anywhere. Although you want to bring up how he looks.
Unfinished business.
Yeah, he's got the unfinished business going on.
He's got the unfinished number 2 brewing in his pants, a turtleneck.
But the thing is, man, I mean, right when I'm, like, willing to turn the page and be like, all right, F Artie, I just want to watch baseball. I just want to see these guys try to compete. It's like something like that comes out to rub salt in the wound. And then to make things worse, it's like my girl's watching NASCAR. Yeah, don't go there. But she's watching NASCAR. And what shows up? Hey, March 30th brings back baseball on Saturday. Shohei Ohtani and the Dodgers. It's like, oh, come on. Stop.
Yeah of course. I mean, hey, but I will say I am excited for that Dodgers-Padres series in Seoul, Korea. Mm-hmm. That's actually, I feel like, going to be a pretty good series.
It should.
Especially now that the Padres got Dylan Cease. Like, okay, maybe they might be decent. Like, besides Juan Soto, and Juan Soto wasn't a great Padre, let's be honest. I think that's going to be a fun series, but that's a topic for another day. Maybe.
And I do think the Padres will have less pressure and they got a more qualified manager.
Yeah.
I think they will be a lot more competitive than they were last year. And yeah. And what do you think about that? Do you think the Angels could have got Dylan Cease with the guys they gave up last year?
Well, with the guys they gave up last year, maybe. I mean, because the Padres gave up, what was it, 4 players?
Yeah, but they weren't.
It was like two. I think it was 2 higher end prospects.
Yeah.
So your Bush and Quero, Edgar Quero, and then you would have had 2 other throw-ins in there. Maybe. It's just the thing that pisses me off so much is the fact that the Angels gave up so much last year for nothing.
Yep.
Nothing. We didn't even keep Moustakas. At least if we would have kept Moustakas, like, okay, well, you re-signed him. At least you got a little piece of last year when you got him from Colorado. You gave up Coleman Crow, who I understand was injured as soon as he went over to the Mets. But still, he had potential. He was an AFL All-Star. There was potential there. Did well in the minor leagues for the Angels. You gave up Kai Bush, and I understand because we had so many lefties, he was disposable. He was dispensable. But still, a guy who had a lot of potential could have got you a good return, gave him away for literally nothing because we got nothing out of Giolito. We didn't even keep him the rest of the year.
Yeah.
And then, not even that, but you got rid of your top, one of your top prospects who was one of the better catching prospects in all of baseball. Once again, for nothing. For what? Like 6 or 7 starts out of Giolito? We didn't even keep him for the year. Stupid.
A friend of mine told me that if Cuero turned into the player that they all were you know, projecting to, that he could have been like a, you know, him and Ohapi could have shared, you know, there wouldn't have been a logjam at catcher. They could have shared the spot, and then one of them could have learned either to play first base or it could have been DH. You got rid of Ohtani. So, I mean, you never know if they were that good of hitters, you know, if Cuero turned into an Ohapi as well, you could find a place to play both of them in the same lineup. So, absolutely. I mean, and it really sucks because I think the only one that got hosed more with a Giolito thing was Boston, you know, signing him to
a giant deal.
Yeah, he's gone for the next year and a half. So,
yeah, exactly. I almost wonder if like there was a piece of that, like where he came here really, really sucked. Was that like the start of the injury, start of the arm? Maybe there was some kind of arm fatigue, arm injury there. And I mean, you never know. You never know. But either way, that is going to go down, I truly believe, as the worst trade in franchise history. Because no matter which way you slice it or dice it, Kai Bush can turn out to be an average MLB starter.
Yeah.
Sucks. Edgar Cuero can turn out to be a 250 hitting catcher, and it's a horror. He could be like a Chris Iannetta type. Serviceable, average at best, and we could still be talking about the worst trade in history because, once again, you got rid of this guy for nothing because Artie didn't want to fork the bill.
Yeah.
He wanted to go under the luxury tax. So it's like you didn't even keep him for the years. That's what I'm saying. Worst trade ever, question mark?
Oh, I think so. I think the ramifications after. I mean, you even think about the players we let go, you know, or you know, in the offseason and did not resign. Like you brought up Moustakas, who might, you know, rejuvenate his career here and got more looks because of what he did here. And then you got Urshela.
Where did he go? Atlanta?
No, he went to Chicago, didn't he?
No, where'd he go?
I forget.
We just played him a couple days ago.
Oh, okay. Because I know Urshela went to Detroit, right? They signed him for like $1.5 million. So, I mean, like we spent $10 million on him. You mean to tell me he wouldn't take after his pelvis injury, he wouldn't take $2 million from us? I mean, we could have easily got Urshela back. And I think Moustakas signed for something minimum too.
Yeah.
So those are two guys we were clamoring for. You're talking about.
Yeah, he did go to the White Sox.
Yeah, he went to the White Sox, and then that's crazy, man. It's tough, man. I mean, that's where you just keep getting reminded of last year. I want to turn the page and start afresh, and I think I will come that Baltimore series, but it's just like I said before, it's hard with these tweets and other stuff that remind you of a shit owner that we have.
I agree. The one good news, and you know what I was trying to get at earlier, is I've been saying, we all have for the last 10 years, hey, this year is different, this year is different. At least I know for a fact, 100% undoubtedly, I know it. I love it. For the first time in 10 years, this year is going to be different. I know that for a fact. Why? Because if you think this team is legitimately going to contend where we currently stand, you're lying to yourself. But if you can just take this year for what it is, let's just watch some baseball. Let's hope these young core pieces take a step forward. Then I think we're in good shape. But for the first time in 10 years, I can enjoy the season because we're just watching baseball. That's all it is. Wins and losses, honestly, who cares? Honestly, because I don't think this team is going to contend, losing might not be so bad. As long as, like I said, the young guys are progressing. Maybe they get, you know, if everyone stays healthy and they're playing competitive ball games, even if they're losing all of them, all 162, as long as they are competitive games, I can live with it.
Me too. I think that, and then the real Angel fans will keep watching if that's the case.
Yeah, I can live with it because once again, I know that it isn't so much about wins and losses. It's just about, hey, maybe we can be good in 2 or 3 years.
Yeah, maybe they can surprise us and sweep the Yankees. You know, they may lose the next two in Tampa, but if they sweep the Yankees, that's pretty impressive.
Yeah, yeah. They sweep the Yankees. They win the freeway series. Boom. We didn't win any other games this year. This is a good year.
There you go. One other thing I want to tap on real quick before we get into the Cole Calhoun stuff. And we wanted to play some highlights, by the way, but StreamYard didn't provide that for me this time. But we will figure that out and have that ready for next time. But because we will honor him at some point this season as well. I'm sure we will. That and Simmons as well. We got to give him proper send-offs. Real quick, I wanted to get your thoughts on Anthony Rendon. Big Mouth Rendon opened his mouth the other day. Not so controversial, just sounds a little stupid. I wanted to get your thoughts on it. I don't know if you heard it, but he was asked. He was asked, what's life after Ohtani like?
Oh, okay. Yeah, I did. Yep, I heard this.
Yeah, his exact words were, it's like getting kicked out of the Beatles.
I saw this tweet, and who was it? It was somebody on X, and they put, if Ohtani is the Beatles, Rendon is Yoko.
That's 100% accurate, dude.
Yeah, Yoko Ono. Yoko Ono, right? That's
Yoko Ono. Yeah,
Yeah, that's so funny. Whoever made that tweet, X, whatever you want to call it, I give you props. I didn't take a screenshot. I should have. It wasn't my tweet. I'm not gonna pretend like it was mine. But you won the internet.
That's legit, because even my dad was like, that guy was never even close to being a Beatle.
Yeah, who would have been the Beatles? So you would have had Trout, Ohtani, of course. Who would have been the other two?
Ooh, that's hard.
Would you have counted Pujols the first couple of years? I would have.
Yeah, yeah. And then who would be your Ringo Starr? Someone that's quiet?
Upton? Because guys seemed to like him when he was, you know. He was Trout's best friend, apparently.
I think that's a good question of the day. I think that's what that is. I would love to see the answers on that one.
Yeah, right. Maybe that's one thing you reach out to Randy and you get them. You get him to like a Photoshop Abbey Road, but with the Angels.
Yeah, yeah, that would be pretty crazy. Because if we were to do that and Rendon was a part of the Beatles, we'd have to Photoshop him in a wheelchair crossing the crosswalk.
There you go. Getting right. Pushed by somebody.
Yeah. Now, I noticed you have number two, Simmons, behind you for those watching on YouTube, and you have Cole Calhoun, 56, right underneath him.
Yep, both and, autographed.
Both autographed. I believe their cards are there too, right, in that frame?
Yep, those are their cards on the side. I have a Cole Calhoun autographed card, like, in my big case. I should put that in there. I think I have a Simmons autographed card somewhere too. So maybe those should both be up there, but they're not.
It's pretty crazy, though, that you had those up there way before they both announced their retirement. So,
yeah, I've had them up there for years because, I mean, I have a Yanel Escobar jersey framed and signed, Clayton Keller, my Tim Tebow. I have a Will Myers and a Keenan Middleton. But, yeah, I've only ever had just one that I dedicated for the Angels, and it was always coincidentally Simmons and Calhoun.
Yeah, it's very coincidence, unless you have the lottery numbers, the winning lottery numbers as well, that they both retired the same year. Both had fantastic Angel careers.
Correct. And almost no success anywhere else.
Yeah, exactly. And we're going to focus in on Cole Calhoun. We talked about Andrelton Simmons. Like I said, we're going to try to put together, you know, some video clips for later in the season. But Cole Calhoun, I know he's one of your favorites. What did he mean to you as a fan? And what did you appreciate out of him the most?
Okay, so I saw another tweet, another X, that was really good. It said, one of the most mid players I've ever seen, but he was our mid player. And I agree with that. Because here's the thing. On every single team, successful team, you need a Cole Calhoun. Because say what you want. I feel like Cole Calhoun was a vocal leader. You would see him getting pumped up all the time. And like the last time I really saw Trout smile on a field and look like he was having fun was when he used to play next to Cole Calhoun. And true. Calhoun was another guy. Yeah, he was batting 220, but you know what? You never saw that guy take a playoff. If the ball was anywhere in his vicinity, he went all out trying to get it. He never, he wasn't a guy who cared a lot about the money. He was obviously there for the love of the game. he loved being an Angel, and you could tell. There's just some guys, you know, they love playing where they do. Calhoun, one of those guys. Trout, obviously another one of those guys, or he wouldn't have stayed. You know, Rendon doesn't care about being here, right? Yeah. Angels gave him a contract. He's just here, and there's nothing wrong with that. But what I'm saying is Calhoun was a gamer, the absolute definition of a nose to the cobblestone type of guy.
Yeah, he was a gritty player. I think what hurt him a couple times is he had batting averages that dipped down. But for the most part, you know, when Cole Calhoun was on, he could carry a team at times. And he would have these stretches where he was red hot. And he was, I think, if you looked up supporting cast for a winning baseball team, or at least a baseball team that can contend, it was Cole Calhoun. He was the epitome of a supporting cast member on a team. You know, he gave you everything he possibly could. He was your Darren Erstad. I'm always dirty every game, whether it's sliding in, trying to steal a base, making a spectacular catch. And how about that arm from right field? I mean, he was outstanding playing the ball off the cam when you actually had to hit the ball over the yellow line. He had some range in right field. He was great to the fans. He threw an autographed ball to us one time, and some guy stole it when he was throwing it to my girls. But he was a really nice guy. And like you said, I didn't think of that till you brought it up. He was always smiling during innings. When the pitchers are warming up, he'd be throwing the ball with Cole, and they're laughing and joking or joking with the fans. And so, yeah, a lot of that's underrated, like you said.
Definitely a good clubhouse guy. Like, there's some guys you can tell are great clubhouse guys, and Calhoun was one of them. Yeah. You know Escobar, bad clubhouse guy. Yeah. Cole Calhoun, great clubhouse guy. You know, Andrelton Simmons, another guy, great clubhouse guy. Guys really liked him, you know. Mm-hmm. I know for a fact Simmons was a good clubhouse guy. I never really asked about Calhoun, but, I mean, you can just kind of tell. The guys were always laughing when he was in the dugout, that kind of thing. You know, the guys like Trevor Bauer are always kind of by themselves. Like, they just kind of do their own thing. Calhoun was not that. So I think that in another timeline where the Angels do things the right way, they invested in their minor league system when it mattered. You know, Jerry DePoto wasn't continuously depleting the farm system.
Yeah.
I think there is a situation and an avenue where Cole Calhoun, Mike Trout, and Pujols are part of some really, really good Angels teams that make some deep playoff runs. I don't think the Angels would have ever won a World Series in a different timeline, but I could definitely see an avenue where they made the playoffs at least two more times during his time here.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. I'll play off of that right now. You know, with the lineups they had, you know, Upton and other players, you add just a sprinkle in a couple pitchers. Literally sprinkle in a couple pitchers, and we're talking about a team that makes a wild card at least, you know, and we're talking about, okay, in the last nine season, the Angels made the playoffs four out of those nine, you know, we're talking about, you know, at least getting these guys in the tournament to where maybe they can make some noise. We're not saying, like you said, make the World Series, but maybe you pull an upset or something.
I mean, this is baseball. Once you make the dance, you never know what could happen. You know what I mean? Like, that's the beauty in baseball. And that's why we watch baseball. Mm-hmm. You know, you're a big football guy. But at the end of the day, like, there isn't a lot of parity in the NFL. Maybe you get one or two teams a year. But primarily, it's always the same kind of teams that are making it. You know, the Seahawks, when they were on, were making the playoffs every year, right? The Patriots, mm-hmm. the Chiefs. These are teams that perennially make the playoffs. And baseball, I mean, you have teams like the Diamondbacks who are – and the Rangers – nobody had that as a World Series matchup. I don't care who you are. You know, you might have two or three guys out of millions of people who said that. You know what I mean?
And that's true.
I understand, like, there's a lot of people who are like, oh, like, that was really bad for the ratings. It really was, right? It was one of the least watched World Series ever. But true baseball fans can appreciate the beauty in it, right? It's two teams that nobody had getting there, making it to the dance. So you never know. Maybe the Angels, you know, 15, 16, 17, make the playoffs. And maybe they make it to the World Series and lose like the Diamondbacks did. Maybe they win. Who knows? But I will agree with you. I think Darren Erstad is a great comparison for a guy like Cole Calhoun. Gritty, never took an inning off. And that's why I'll always love Cole Calhoun. Andrelton Simmons is always going to be my favorite Angel of all time. But I do, if I'm really honest with myself, I think Cole Calhoun is top five, if not pretty close. For me, it's like, it's, you know, Simmons is number one. Number two is where it gets like hard. That's when it's like, you know, I would throw a guy like Jared Weaver in that mix. I would throw a guy like Trout in that mix, of course, Calhoun. And then fifth, maybe like Spezio.
Yeah, yeah.
What about you? What's your top five for you real quick?
Top five, that's hard, but that's hard. I'd have to say.
Well, there were a couple names that are in contention.
Okay. Tim Salmon, Guerrero, Anderson, Erstad, and Trout. But I have so many that are right there because I love Gloss. And notice no Angel pitchers, really. You know, I mean,
yeah, Chuck, of course.
Chuck Finley, I saw towards the tail end of his career. I would.
Well, how come no Weaver? You know, guy who decided to stay here, could have made money somewhere else, decided to stay with his team.
I liked Weaver. Don't get me wrong. He's one of my, you know, a dedicated Angel. Absolutely. But I think, like, more, I was more with those flashy hitters, the grinded out guys.
Okay.
And you know, I'll give him his props, obviously. And I wish we would have signed Bartolo longer. One of my all-time favorites is Kelvin Escobar. I just liked how he got no respect, but he was an innings eater, strikeout pitcher.
Is Lackey in there at all?
Yeah, Lackey is. I just wish, again, the organization treated him better. I would have loved for him to stay as an Angel because, I mean, he wound up winning two more World Series with I think three more with two other teams. So
the Red Sox and who else?
Cubs.
Cubs. Yeah, yeah.
No, actually, he won four, didn't he?
Did he win with the Cardinals?
I want to say he did, but I'm probably wrong on that one. So I think he's
Calhoun up there at all? Since we're on him, while I look up the John Lackey thing,
Calhoun's in my top 20, and that's because I've watched a lot of Angels baseball. I have a lot of favorites from the 90s and in the early 2000s. So I think that's where Cole gets pushed back, but he's definitely one of my favorite players. Because
for the record, he was a three-time
World
Series winner.
With three franchises who hadn't won in quite some time, I believe.
Well, he won with Boston in 2013? They won in 13.
Yeah.
2013, obviously the Cubs and then the Angels.
Yeah. So it's not bad.
Yeah, not at all. Okay. So, yeah, I mean, I'm sure we'll definitely talk about Cole Calhoun. All right, so you brought up the fact that he didn't sign a one-day contract with the Angels. How come the Angels have never really done that? Because they didn't do it for Weaver. Mm-hmm. And they didn't do it for Calhoun. Weaver was a no-brainer. They should have done it for Weaver because, you know, he spent the bulk of his career here. There was, 10 games where he started with the Padres.
Yeah.
And then Calhoun, he left after the 2019 season. 2020 and 2021, he went to the Diamondbacks. He went to the Rangers. And then where did he go after the Guardians? But where did he go before the Guardians? Didn't he sign a contract and he got cut?
Well, I want to say Miami, but I could be wrong.
No, this was wrong. Was it Seattle?
Might have been Seattle. That sounds like a DePoto thing to do.
But yeah, why do you think they didn't sign into a one-year deal? Sorry,
Artie Moreno. I think in a league where they do honor these players on one-day contracts, and just so that the player and the team can say, hey, he retired or this or that. You can go back, I think, when teams started doing that to honor their players that were long-term people in their organization or you know, contributors to their organization. I think that was starting at the end of Autry's era and the Disney era into the Moreno era. And I think the closest thing I could think of someone coming back for one more year with a franchise he started was Wally Joyner. I know Wally played the 2001 season. It was like he was far past his prime, and he just played as an occasional pinch hitter and just to sort of just retire as an Angel officially, unofficially, and that's what he did. That's the only one I could think of. I would have loved to have seen Garrett Anderson retire an Angel. For the record, he was, I believe, a Dodger, maybe a Brave. Yeah, I would have loved for a couple guys to come back and get recognized where they started from, but it's not going to happen. It's Artie Moreno.
That's fair. All right, so I checked. So last year he played for the Mariners, the Yankees. He was in the Dodgers organization, which I forgot about.
Didn't know
that.
And
then he went to Cleveland. Yeah, because we talked about in the group chat. He signed with them June 6th, and he played 35 games with a AAA team, and batted 308.
Wow.
And then he was traded to the Guardians because the Guardians needed help. Remember, they were trying to make a playoff push.
Yeah, he actually got some playing time down the stretch with Ohio. So
he did. So he never got a contract. I know we talked a little bit this offseason, like, hey, should the Angels sign him? Should the Angels sign him, you know, as a fourth outfielder kind of guy? Mm-hmm. I signed him immediately on my MLB The Show game.
So, oh, yeah.
As a minor league guy. Yeah, you know, I do that sometimes with some nostalgic guys. We'll talk MLB The Show tomorrow for tomorrow's episode.
Oh, we got plenty of that, yeah.
Yeah, so for anyone wondering what we're talking about, we are planning tomorrow. I guess I'm going to simulate the Angels season for 2024 twice. I'm going to do one with injuries off because I want to see, you know, what the game thinks guys like Neto, Shanuel are going to do. And I want to see what happens if none of them get hurt. And then I'm going to do one with injuries on.
You know? Okay. And we'll see it. We'll see it. We'll see how that goes, man.
Yeah. Cause I want to say who, I want to see who it predicts. You know, does it think Rendon's going to get hurt? Does it think Trout's going to get hurt? Like those kind of things. But then I also want to see a year where we're going to play out the season and it's going to tell us straight up who's going to do what, blah, 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 blah. So that's tomorrow's episode. But last thing I want to talk about today. So I asked last week the question of the day, and those are going to be starting again now that the season gets closer. We normally don't do them every day during the spring training. But once the regular season starts, they turn into an everyday thing unless the team's off. So I wanted to ask you, Blake Snell, still technically available. A lot of names are going to turn out there, Yankees being one of them. You already talked about the fact that the Angels aren't going to most likely get him. But let's just play devil's advocate for a second and say they do get him. Is a guy like Blake Snell worth the Angels losing their second-round draft pick? And for anyone at home, the obvious answer is, yeah, of course he is. But think about this for a second, because Todd and I have already talked about this. The only real thing that Perry has done exceptionally well that he's been here is draft top guys, right? The first, second, third-round draft picks. So you're taking his ability to draft, because he's not really good at trades, and he certainly hasn't been good at free agency signings, really. None of those guys have really panned out. So with that being said, you're going to be losing a second-round draft pick. Is it worth it, Todd?
In my opinion, only if your estimation of what they should do once they get Snell is put into play. You've been saying on the record, you know, you flip a pitcher or two, and you know, if you get a Snell to get more draft picks and to help out. Yeah, if you're seeing an eye for an eye, getting a free agent, flipping them for a couple more picks to restock that organization, long answer, yes, I believe it's worth it. If you don't and you sign them and you don't flip those pitchers, it's not worth it.
Yeah, because you can't keep – so if you sign Blake Snell or Jordan Montgomery doesn't have a qualifying offer attached to him, so you can get him and lose nothing. So, yep. I mean, I still think that's the best option. But with Blake Snell, you're going to lose a second-round draft pick. So you're going to have Snell, Detmers, Sandoval, Anderson. You have Suarez, who is probably competing for a spot in the bullpen, but he's had a pretty decent spring.
Yeah.
So there you go. That's a lot of lefties. You literally only have Canning and Silseth, who are expected to make the rotation, that are righties. So with that being said, that's why I keep saying if you sign a Montgomery or a Snell, you need to trade a Sandoval or a Detmers because you can't have that many lefties. You can't trade Tyler Anderson, right? That's the obvious. That's the no-brainer, right? Get rid of him. He did horrible. But nobody wants that contract. So that's what I'm saying. You can't trade him. It'd be great to. Just like it'd be great to get rid of Rendon. But the thing with the trade, you need a partner. Nobody wants those guys unless you're dumping a top prospect like the Angels did a couple years ago. They didn't want Zach Cozart. They traded Zach Cozart, but they had to give up Will Wilson, who never panned out. But the point is, they still gave up a top prospect, their top prospect at the time, to get rid of that contract. So if you do that with a guy like Rendon, sure, but the Angels don't have a top prospect at the moment. Besides like Shanuel, who's technically, I think, their top prospect, but you're not getting rid of him.
Yeah, he's technically a rookie again this year, so he didn't play enough last year to qualify. But, yeah, I get what you mean. I mean, you want to keep that farm system lit up as much as you can, and they're stuck with Anderson and Rendon, like you said, at least one more year before they can even think of considering of cutting either one of them, because, like you said, you got to have someone to dance with in a trade, and ain't nobody knocking on our door for those two players or for most of our players. So
yeah, exactly. So, you know, Detmers and Sandoval have not – Sandoval had a great outing today.
Yeah.
But they haven't had, like, you know, an amazing spring. It is just spring training, so we don't know what they're working on. Maybe Sandoval was working on something the first couple starts, whatever that was. Today he tried getting in game form because he looked great today.
Well, yeah, so, just think about how many teams have seen the potential in Zach or in Detmers and in Sandoval, yeah, and they know that these guys can put together something in their rotation, or maybe absolutely, a pitching coach in one of these teams is like, man, I wish we had one of these guys. Because
yeah, they're jonesing for the opportunity to get their hands.
Yeah. Yep. So I'm pretty sure that they've let the GMs know that, hey, if these guys come available, hey, let's take a shot at them. I'd love to have them on the staff.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, look at Brandon Marsh.
Yeah, exactly. Philly was just like, really? We could have him?
Yeah, right. And, you know, that I could definitely see as a trade that worked out for both sides, right? The Angels didn't have a catcher. So,
yeah, if Ohapi has that season that we think he's going to have, absolutely that worked out, because Brandon Marsh has found a home in Philly. And if Ohapi is our catcher for years to come, yeah, you can, like you said, chalk that up to one of the best trades, and then the same season you'd be like, well, Perry pulled off one of the worst trades too in the same season.
Yeah, exactly. So it's gonna be really, really interesting to see what happens with Blake Snell. These guys are running out of time. Snell, Montgomery, JD Martinez, these are guys that, like, they have to get on a roster quick.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think I'm starting to now think you're wrong, because I believed you about, like, oh, one of these guys bringing a fall in the Angels' laps. I don't think so anymore. It's just because of what Artie said. I no, agreed with you up to this point. But
it should have happened, if anything.
It should have. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Because once again, I think getting a guy like Snell or Montgomery makes the Angels better. And before you're like, oh, of course it does, Fernando. You're an idiot. That's the stupidest thing I've ever heard. But what I mean by that is, yeah, that one guy, sure, doesn't move the needle much, but if you trade a guy like Sandoval or Detmers, because those guys have value, you know, Andrew is our resident Padre fan who always is very straight up with us about it. And he's admitted, hey, yeah, those guys have value. You guys can get a lot for those guys, whether they suck right now or not, because they are controllable lefties who people want. People mm-hmm. want controllable pitching with high upside, and both those guys have high upside. So you can get a lot in return. You can now get some other cornerstone pieces. You know, you have a catcher, a first baseman, and a shortstop long-term, right? Moniak, I could consider part of a young core too. So you have four key pieces, you know, and I guess by default, you have to throw Trout in there. So you have five guys who are your set in stone. What about the rest? You know, who are you going to get to replace Rendon? Because Rendon's going to get hurt. So get a guy who can sit behind him, a young prospect like they do in the NFL, right? Yeah. Like when they had Brett Favre, they drafted Aaron Rodgers. They let Aaron Rodgers sit, marinate, learn the system. And then when he was ready, look what happens. You know, they tried doing the same thing with Jordan Love. So people do that in the NFL. So maybe you can do that with the third baseman, right? Hey, Rendon has the keys to the kingdom right now. But when he does slip up or when he gets hurt, we have his replacement ready. Oh, hey, the guy came up, did really well. Maybe that'll light up a little bit of fire of Rendon. And if it doesn't, who cares, dude? I'd rather pay Rendon $38 million to run the bench. He's not helping us anyway.
That's true.
Give it to a guy who wants to play.
Yeah,
so I mean, that's what I'm saying.
Next man up mentality for sure.
Exactly. I mean, maybe you can get a long-term second baseman now. You know, because Drury's a free agent after next year, unless you're going to lock him up, which I don't mind giving Drury another 2 years. I'm okay with that. For 3 years total?
Yeah, if he's putting up that 24 home runs, 80 RBIs, I'm good with that. You know,
Batting 270, great. Decent defense, I'll take it. So, yep. That's what I have to say. I agree with you. If there's a plan there to, hey, you know, let's get Blake Snell hypothetically, and then we're going to trade Sandoval or Detmers, get a little bit in return, I'm all for it. But if that's not the case, then yeah, let's not even waste our time.
Yep, it's not worth it in the long run. So that's our show. That's all I got for me as well. What we're going to do is we're going to let you know that tomorrow's show, the Tuesday morning show, is going to be, like you said, the show 2024, the simulation of the Angels baseball season with and without injuries. We'll see how it goes. We'll see what they do at the trade deadline. We'll see if they make the playoffs. We'll see if they win the World Series. Probably not, yep. But we'll see.
Yeah,
we'll see.
Gonna go, no.
Yeah, we're going to go all in on that one, and we're going to tell you all the stats, who did what, who was the worst player, who was the best player, and we'll see how where that equates. We'll dig this episode up about this time next year, and we'll see what happens if we were right or not. So for Todd Fox and
the Lone Star Halo,
catch you on the flip side.
Bye, everyone.